You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
You know, if you're on the hard left, you don't want freedom of speech. You want freedom of your speech and nobody else. You got a little bit of this yesterday when we had a congresswoman objecting to people singing Christian songs on Easter. You know, this whole notion of I get to define what your free speech is. And I think that Musk represents a danger because he doesn't follow the rules.
No, Elon Musk does not follow the rules. This is April 18, 2022. We are live streaming at Larry Connors USA at rumble.com. You can come right into the studio and join us. Go to rumble.com, go to the search engine, and type in one word, Larry Connors USA, all one word. And it'll take you right to our live site that we're streaming right now. And if you can't do that, of course you can listen here as we go through the program and remind your friends and neighbors if they missed this program. You can always pick it up on the podcast later in the day. And in fact, rumble.com will be posting the live segments sometime later today as well. So there was former House GOP leader Newt Gingrich on how the leftists are trying to stop Elon Musk from buying Twitter. As he said, their idea of free speech is what they decide is free speech. Some are claiming that the major rich, such as Elon Musk, should not own a news source. My God, think of the damage he could do if he controlled a news source. Well, there are a couple of arguments against that stupid point they're making. One, Twitter is not a news source. If you're getting your news from Twitter, God help all of us. It's a good place to express thoughts and views and exchange. But that's not, quote, a news source. It may link you to some legitimate news stories. It may link you to some fake stories. But it's not a news source. So that claim, disputed, struck down immediately by the left and what they want to try to have you believe. And then their claim that, well, you can't have rich people owning major news outlets. Are they not aware, are they think we're not aware, that five liberal media outlets owned and run by billionaires are the very ones criticizing Elon Musk buying Twitter? I mean, they've got control of the Washington Post. You know who has that? The man who may be number one or two, depending on what the stock market is doing between him and Musk, that'd be Jeff Bezos. And then we also have others being controlled by billionaires, CNN, of course. Then you got Time Magazine. You got Bloomberg Publications. I mean, and each one of these, all of these, every one of them, multi-billionaires, that's running a real news source. And you wonder why you're not getting real news sometimes? We're going to get into that in more detail over the next couple of hours. This crime and open border continue to be two of the main issues threatening Dems in November. And inflation and everything else Biden has screwed up. They know that crime and the open border are two of the essentials, but they don't know what to do. Dems just don't know what to do because they're following progressives, pulling them around by their nose. So they're afraid to even speak out for fear that they might be canceled. Some Democrats have joined together to try to shut down killing Title 42, but Nancy is not going to bring it up to her vote. This is tax filing day. due the 15th following on Friday. Our guest today, Eleanor Bartow, Federalist. On this tax day, she says Biden should release his full corporate tax returns. He left VP, and his income, along with his wife, was $400,000. From 2017 and 19, income going from $400,000 to $16 million. And they claim it's just book sales and speeches from S corporations. You believe that? Of course you don't. For all the left that wanted Trump's expenses exposed, how about these? We'll look at them. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Investigators are charging Frank James with committing a violent attack on mass transportation. Here's how the FBI described the shooting after the arrest.
Mr. James is now facing a federal charge for his actions. A terrorist attack on mass transit.
The concept of domestic terrorism occupies a gray area in American law. We certainly have international terrorism laws, but when it comes to domestic terrorism, we have a constellation of different federal criminal statutes that the FBI and the government use. But in a case like this, typically what the government will do is go with the layup charge first, one they feel very confident they can prove. I'm not so sure that terrorism charges aren't completely excluded yet. They could be added on later. But if you look at this particular statute, it carries a potential life sentence. And if somebody dies, death. But fortunately, there were no resulting deaths. So it's a very considerable federal statute that criminalizes any this kind of act of violence on a subway or a train or a something of mass transportation.
That's a special report from NBC the other day on the subway, followed by their NBC analyst as to why the terrorism charge seemed to be just tacked on. I wondered about that the other day, and I didn't have time to get into it because I'm going to be honest with you. Hear me out on this. I don't like making divisive issues around race, but I will tell you this. If that had been a white man doing that shooting on the subway, there would have been cries immediately, make it a terrorist charge. We're not going to consider it a secondary charge or try to go through, as the lawyer described, a constellation of legal arguments. Does it fit domestic terrorism? Obviously, it's an act of terrorism, because if you're black, white, yellow, red, whatever, you open fire on mass transit like that, there's no place. People are bailing out of the train as soon as it comes to a stop in that New York City subway. They can't really see. He released a smoke canister, maybe more than one, firing indiscriminately, then trying to escape into the crowd. Thank God they caught him. But then catching him also brings another question. over the weekend, George Stephanopoulos of ABC had Mayor Eric Davis, newly elected New York City mayor, former police chief, who promised to run on bringing back law and order. And Stephanopoulos asked a legitimate question and said, there seems to be a better way to track somebody like Frank James, the shooting suspect, because he was, quote, hiding in plain sight. That's referring to his social media and YouTube pages. And Mayor Adams said social media companies need to step up. I do know this. If I had put the same things he did on his Facebook and YouTube page, I definitely would be banned from Facebook and YouTube. And rightly so. Talking about inciting violence and hate language and everything else. But for some reason, their algorithms allowed this man to continue his rant and raving for some time. And the police chief did say, there is a corporate responsibility when we are watching hate brew online. I agree with him. He said we can identify using artificial intelligence and other methods to identify those who are talking about violence. Well, that's supposedly what Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the rest of them say they do. But see, here's the issue again. It's not hate. It's not hate talk and threats of violence if it comes from the left. That's acceptable. That's why there's such a big battle underway right now to keep Elon Musk from buying Twitter. And it is hair on fire day for all the progressives, if he gets it. We're going to get into that story in more detail the next hour. But let's stick with the violence in New York City. And yes, even though the New York City mayor came in and pledged to bring an end to a lot of this violence that's been happening, you could talk the talk, but you know you had to carry out what you're going to do. Now, here's the problem. Some have already decided that the mayor is maybe just a cheap suit. He was a police chief. He knows what the men and women need on the police force. He knows what needs to be done to crack down on crime. And he also acknowledges it's not just in the hands of the police, but prosecutors and New York City and state being a Blue Soros-funded area. They've got very liberal prosecutors and district attorneys at all levels. They either have, and they also have numerous plans where you face no bail or very little bail, or they give you early release and early parole just because we think you'll do better the next time around. So Stephanopoulos to the mayor was referring to the police commissioner that was in charge before Eric Adams took over. He was police chief, but before he became the New York City mayor. And he raised a question about what the previous police commissioner had said was bad about dealing with crime in New York City and where the blame should lay.
The former police commissioner in New York City, Bill Bratton, had something to say about this week on Bloomberg. I want you to listen.
The scales right now, it's hit very heavily in favor of the reforms of the progressive left. Well-intended, some needed, but tipped too far. And what we have as a result is this growing fear of crime, this growing actual amount of crime, as evidenced in almost every major American city.
Commissioner Bratton, right?
Yes, I believe he is right. And he understood what we had to go through during the mid-80s, early 90s, when we had to transform policing. Major mistakes made throughout the years that destroyed the trust that the police commissioner is talking about. We have to rebuild that trust. But we can't rebuild that trust by allowing those who are dangerous and that they have a repeated history of violence to continue to be on our streets. We have to unbottleneck the courts. Too many people during COVID, when courts closed down, have not served their time or have not been in the courtroom. And then we have to be honest about some of the things we're doing generationally that has created the crime problem that we are facing right now. And that is why we believe in intervention and prevention to solve this issue that we're facing.
Nice words, good verbiage. And some of it holds water. Some is like a sieve. It holds nothing. He mentioned generational issues. If you were specific about that, he's talking about we have families that are generations of crime. They're raised, unfortunately, without a father in the house. And mothers sometimes doing the very best job they can, but can't do it all by themselves. There are too many distractions and opportunities on the streets for young men to go rogue, criminal, carry illegal weapons when they're not authorized to even have a weapon, whether or not they've been convicted. And the opportunity then with the COVID mask mandates gave them more anonymity so they could cover their face, and it wouldn't bother you if they walked in the bank with their face covered and a hoodie. And that applies to white people, too. It's not just black people. It refers to anybody that uses any opportunity to carry out a crime and conceal their identity. There are scores and scores of cameras all across Manhattan and other parts of New York City. Sometimes they catch these assaults on video. And when you got it that clear, you think there'd be a very easy conviction. But that was the other thing the mayor pointed out, as did the former police commissioner. There might have been some well-intended ideas to make things better, but they've gone so far now, they've not made them better except for making it easier and better for the criminal element. And that's just New York City. It's happening all over. In news and commentary, I've already pulled a story aside for another Monday and how many were shot and killed in Chicago over the weekend. And we had numerous multiple shootings at various locations around the nation. In some cases, it's thugs firing against thugs, but civilians being caught in the middle of it. In one case, a man who said, "I pulled a gun and I was firing back." And he's been charged with some of the shooting, one of the shootings, but he claimed self-defense. And his attorney says his claim is legitimized. That's why he was released on a $25,000 bond and an ankle bracelet. When I first saw that, I thought, what the hell? How are you going to let somebody out involved in a mall shooting that gets off that light? Well, because apparently there is evidence showing he was not initiating the shooting, but he was firing back. And they're going to make it a claim of self-defense. But then we have the other issue about our open borders. I would say the vast majority of those coming across our open borders are not coming here to be criminals and to rob and steal and commit crime and mayhem. But there are a select number, a growing number, and we're not sure that some aren't coming across with the intent to carry out a jihad attack against the U.S., Title 42 will be dropped next month. Title 42, of course, was allowing Trump, by order of the CDC and Biden, to prevent a lot of folks from coming in or return them immediately if they did test positive for COVID. But once the Biden administration came in, the testing pretty much stopped. They just put them on planes, flew them in the dead of night to various locations. That's why Texas Governor Abbott began to load buses up with illegals and drop them off in D.C., and they continue. And I hope others do as well. Your crime rate will be going up in D.C. because a lot of those coming in there will probably be looking for a way to make some money. Break into a car, steal something, pawn it, you got some money in your pocket. Now, all of them are not going to do that. And I don't like a blanket indictment against anyone, but you watch the D.C. crime rate. 11 Democrats are asking Biden not to drop Title 42. They realize it's not going to be good for the nation. It's certainly not going to be good for them for the elections coming up in November. But Pelosi won't even allow it to be brought to the floor for a vote. And Congressman Van Drew says this border is a crisis.
You don't have to be a rocket scientist to realize if you have open borders and if you're even going to liberalize and open everything up more by not having Title 42. We haven't seen anything yet. These people are being spread all over the country. Many of these flights take place in the evenings, and we don't even know where they all are. We don't know their backgrounds very often. We know that some of them are criminals. Some of them are sick. Some of them are bringing fentanyl in. Some of them are abusing women and children.
But this is a clear sign that this is a political problem for the Democrats come November.
Oh, it's a big political problem. And that's why, you know, I'm glad they're doing this now, but they should have done it much sooner. You know, I hear about moderate Democrats. I respect them, but not really, because, you know, they're not doing anything. They're talking the talk, but nothing's really happening. Though they've got to put real pressure on their leadership, and not just because an election is coming, because hopefully they love their country and they don't want their country to be devastated.
And to that extent, that brings us to BLM, Black Lives Matter. Maybe a good idea in the original concept, although I think all lives matter. But even the New York City mayor, former police chief Eric Adams, says BLM is failing the black community.
Where are all those who stated Black Lives Matter? Then go do an analysis of who was killed or shot last night. I was up all night speaking to my commanders in the Bronx, in Brooklyn. The victims were black. Many of the shooters were black.
So much for Black Lives Matter, much less helping in the black communities with all the money they raised. But then, of course, you still have some crying out, defund the police. Perfect example coming up.
I started singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Then the old boys were drinking whiskey and rye and singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
You faced some criticism in recent weeks over your push to defund the police. The campaign records show that you spent roughly $70,000 on private security, and some critics say that move is hypocritical. What's your response to those critics?
They would rather I die. You would rather me die? Is that what you want to see? You want to see me die? You know, because that could be the alternative. I have private security because my body is worth being on this planet right now. I have private security because they, the white supremacist, racist narrative that they drive into this country, the fact that they don't care that this black woman that has put her life on the line, they can't match my energy, first of all. This black woman who puts her life on the line, they don't care that I could be taken out of here. They actually probably are okay with that. But this is the thing. I won't let them get that off. You can't get that off. I'm going to make sure I have security because I know I have had attempts on my life. If I end up spending $200,000, if I spend $10 more dollars on it, you know what? I get to be here to do the work. So suck it up, and defunding the police has to happen.
Suck it up. Defunding police has to happen. That's Missouri Congresswoman Cori Bush. Those are the remarks she made last August, 2021, when numbers came out about how much he was paying for private security while defunding police for your neighborhoods. She's putting more security on her detail. Now the latest numbers show that in the first quarter of 2022, pushing her security bills to more than $300,000, from $70,000 to $300,000, as she continues to call to defund the police. She said the defund the police slogan is not the problem and pinned it on Democrats not delivering on the promise. Democrats facing re-election here in 2022, that's all members of the House, a third of the Senate, are also having to fight against that narrative. They know it doesn't work. They know it doesn't work with the open border. That's not good. Crime is up. That's not good. Inflation, crime, everything else. But this woman, again, you'd rather see me die? I have a right to defend my body. Well, you have a right to have protection in your home for yourself, and then you also have a right to have police in your area to give you protection. But not if we're going to defund. Because if we're going to defund, they're going to take police from the areas that probably have the highest crime, which means minority neighborhoods, and they're going to be at more threat. And tell me this, Congresswoman Bush, do you think a young woman, a mother of a 13-year-old living in Queens, had a right to life? Do you think she had a right to life? Because her body, bloodstained in a bag found a few blocks from her home, what happened to her exactly, still not clear. Who did it, not clear. Police went to the home and found the 13-year-old who said, I was wondering where mom was. She should have been home. And then there are pictures showing a man dragging the duffel bag down the street. Think she could have used more police protection? We talked earlier about the open border. The Border Patrol acknowledging it's apprehended at least 23 people, 23 whose names are on the terror watch list in 2021. They're on the terrorist watch list. The only way they can get into this country is come across our open border. They can't fly in. They'd be spotted, not allowed to be on the planes. 23 of them coming in through San Diego, El Paso, Tucson. Now, what do you think their plans are for you and this nation? They're not good. Coming up, this is tax filing day. This is the deadline because of the holiday, Easter Sunday, and then the day Friday. And my next guest with a Federalist says, we need to see the Biden tax returns. How did they go from $400,000 to $17 million? You think a Hunter Biden connection is here? Stand by. Many car dealers are quick to sell you a car, but Ackerman Toyota knows that's just the beginning of your relationship. When it comes time for routine or special service work, others might be too busy. Not Ackerman Toyota. Hours and days to fit your schedule. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton, just north of Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
Jimmy's in the back with a pocket of heart. If you listen close, you can hear him cry. Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Sing it.
Oh, Lord, heaven knows we belong way down below. Way down below, way down below.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. Politico reporting today, headline, all over Hunter Biden. Republicans laying plans for their own investigation despite the DOJ probe. We're going to get into some of that a little bit later. And it's not that it goes on to say it's not every day a House minority calls its investigative shots months before likely takeover of power. Then again, Hunter Biden is no ordinary oversight target, which brings us to Papa Joe. Joe Biden, and the First Lady in the White House. My guest, Ellen Bartow, with The Federalist, wrote an excellent excellent column. Ellen, welcome aboard first. Glad to have you with us.
Hi, Larry. Yeah, it's Eleanor, or you can call me Ellie. Great to be here.
Okay, Ellie, thank you. I apologize if I mispronounced it.
No, not at all.
Okay, you point out here that on this tax day, the headline, Biden should release his full corporate tax returns. Given questions about Hunter Biden's business deals, and one I was just discussing, the White House should release the president's S corporation's tax returns. Now, the difference is that you're looking at is between what the president and first lady reported on their income tax when he left as VP compared to the next 2 years, $400,000 to $17, $18 million. What's going on?
That's right. Well, it is tax day. I know people hate paying their taxes, don't really enjoy talking about taxes. But in this particular case, it's really interesting because while the White House has said that Biden has been very transparent and released 24 years of his tax returns, and, you know, they released them on Friday, they said, hey, this really shows his commitment to being transparent. Well, as the Federalist, where I work, has reported, that's actually not true because, as you mentioned, these are really big numbers here. But, you know, he was making, he and his wife, about $400,000 at the end of his serving as vice president. You know, that's combining their salaries and some other income. But then in the 3 years after that, $16 million, that's a really big leap.
Well, there's they've got an explanation. USA Today, along with CNN, says, well, all this came from speaking fees and book deals. I want that deal.
Yeah, and that indeed that could be true, but they haven't actually released the returns that would show that. Now, what's the detail here is that you can file your individual taxes, and you might file them jointly with your spouse and give all these details. But what the Bidens did is shortly after they left office, they set up what's called an S corporation, and it's basically a way to avoid paying a lot of taxes on your income.
It's legal.
The kind of entity. It's some people would call it a loophole, but really, I mean, it is legal. It's a way that people work the IRS.
Avoiding taxes is okay. Evading taxes is not.
Yeah, exactly. And so it's possible, you know, he was just doing regular business. He could have had a really big book advance. We do know that his book sales, you know, he got this book deal, he and his wife, with Flatiron Books. And it's actually quite difficult to find out how much he was paid. It makes sense that really the book publishers would not want to release that information. They typically don't, but, you know, they probably don't mind the media inflating the numbers. What a big deal it is that they've gotten, you know, these great authors to write for them. And in fact, the Obamas reportedly got $60 million for their book deal.
Yeah.
In Biden's case, could he have had an $8 million book deal? Yeah, he could have, but, you know, it would be good for him to confirm that because, as we know, there's speculation that, you know, how has he been connected with his son's business dealing, and could he have made this money some other way? We just know that $13 million during 2017 to 2019, he flowed it through his S corporation. We don't actually have the corporation's tax filings, and so we really can't prove that it's the book. Now, yes, USA Today has said it's this book, it's his book sales and speaking fees. And we do know that he can make, you know, $150,000 speaking. He's done that. But this is still a lot of money. And if you're going to say that you're being really transparent, you know, it would be good to just see the full filing.
Well, let me take an opportunity here to say that I'm an excellent speaker. I'll be glad to do it for just $100,000. But one of your own colleagues, you're listening to Ellie Bartow with the Federalist. One of your colleagues, Bob Anderson, said the book sales itself were too low to be the likely source of all that income. They may have had an advance, but the book sales didn't bring them really that much more money. And the questions have always been about Hunter Biden, the laptop from hell, and the fact that he talked about having to get 10% to the big guy, and they were co-mingling money. And there are a lot of questions on how much money was given and what got exchanged.
Indeed, yeah. The book sales were probably around 300,000 books, and that would have brought about, you know, maybe $1 million, but not the $8 million. Again, it could be that he was given a really good advance. Sometimes these publishers like to, you know, have a really big name. We just don't know. And honestly, is he that interesting to read about? I mean, 300,000 sales. Okay, that's a pretty good job. I'd be happy for him to get a great advance after all his public service. But it would be great to just confirm that number. And like I said, I did ask the publisher a couple of times, but that's not the kind of information. They're not going to want to reveal that information on the president, but he might be able to do that very quickly. He would have filed these taxes already, you know, in 2017, 18, 19. And so, yeah, as you said, the reason it's a lot more relevant now is, you know, remember, he wouldn't have known when he left office as vice president that he would be president later. And we've seen some emails that show, yeah, he was wanting to focus on making more money, you know, years before he even left.
And he clearly was doing things on behalf of Chinese execs, which are tied to the Communist Party, helping one writing a letter recommendation for his son to get into one of the colleges. So, I mean, it's a quid pro quo, clearly. Now, I want to make it clear for you, for the record, most of my audience knows it, but for your record as well, tax returns, when Trump kept saying, I can't get all my returns, I'm under audit, and I said, that's a lie. He can always present the numbers and still say it's under audit, and I think he should have. But it got to the point where if they're going to make that claim and then base it only on that, I said, forget it then. Don't bother filing. It's not apparent. But if you're going to claim to be transparent, as Biden said, then you either are or you're not. And that's what you're raising here.
Yes, you're right. It was different with President Trump. That was a question of, you know, was he underpaying his taxes? And, you know, it appears that he really didn't pay a lot in taxes. But again, that wasn't illegal. The question is just, you know, given the speculation with his son, Hunter Biden, is it possible he was getting money from some people, that the vice president was getting money from some people he worked with in some way when he was in office? I mean, anything's possible until we see some details here. I mean, we know from last month, the New York Times reported that Hunter Biden, he paid $1 million in a tax liability to try to help him out later with this
right.
investigation, you know, with the U.S. Attorney of Delaware. And he's being looked at for, you know, potential money laundering or violations of foreign lobbying laws. So it just, again, as we've said, you know, if the White House wants to say that they're being so transparent, and Joe Biden has said that, you know, he said when he was campaigning about his transparency. So,
well, but again,
maybe there's nothing there. I'd like to see.
Yeah. And the laptop from hell, which they denied for 17 months till the New York Times finally acknowledged, yeah, the New York Post was right. They did have it. And emails confirm some of the things that have been reported. And emails show that Hunter is talking about getting money and making deals and making contact with the president's brother, James, and him and others. So the question then is compromising our president, our U.S. security, in addition to any money he's going to put into his pocket.
Yes, we know that when Biden was vice president and he was the point man on Ukrainian corruption, you know, that was while his son Hunter was serving on this board of Burisma, the natural gas company,
right.
and making a reported $50,000 a month. And, you know, Hunter Biden said it was probably a poor judgment to take that seat. But, you know, Joe Biden has said he's never spoken to his son about his overseas business dealings. So
that's been proven wrong
mm-hmm.
several times. Well,
yeah.
I tell you what, like you said, none of us like paying it. My guy sent me a notice last night and said, here's what you owe and how much you want to pay with it. And I said, well, if I have an extension, I'll have to figure it out. But, Ellie, I appreciate it. I think it's a great article. Again, this is Ellie Bartow with the Federalist. She does a lot of work for a lot of other groups as well, Congressional Quarterly, New York Times, Spectator, American Spectator, Real Clear Investigations. Glad to have you on board. We'll have to do it again.
Thanks so much, Larry. My pleasure.
Thank you. I'm reminding you listening, we're also streaming live at rumble.com. Rumble.com. Go there, type in search engine for Larry Connors USA, all one word, Larry Connors USA. If you miss it live now, you can also go to it later at some point. Rumble will put up this entire podcast live so you can see inside the studio and join us a little bit late. I'll be gone by then, but you're welcome to join us. And coming up, Hillary Clinton still has her own problems, not just tax problems, and members around her staff are pleading the Fifth Amendment. Hey, let's do lunch at Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles. That's right, Cafe Napoli 3, now open for lunch and Sunday brunch. So let's plan lunch or Sunday brunch at Cafe Napoli in St. Charles. Of course, you always get great food and service at each Napoli location, Clayton, Town and Country, St. Charles. But let me remind you again, for lunch or Sunday brunch, Cafe Napoli 3 in St. Charles.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Welcome back. The word coming out now. By the way, this story also just breaking, and I'm waiting for more details, but We're having a judge make a decision that the CDC mask mandate for travelers being struck down by a federal judge, that is, of course, requiring that you must wear a mask if you're going to be on a plane or any mass transit. This is a federal judge in Florida. He said the mandate was unlawful. It exceeded the statutory authority of the Centers for Disease Control, and its implementation violated administrative law. Now, it's not clear how quickly this ruling will be implemented at airports or train stations. The Justice Department might attempt to block the ruling final appeal. CDC's decided to extend the mask mandate through May 3rd. It applies to planes, trains, other forms of public transportation. Now, they were going to let it drop earlier than that, and then they said, oh, no, we're going to go at least another 2 more weeks. They're going to continue to keep you under the thumb and the fear of COVID as long as they can. And, in fact, Dr. Fake is out now saying this idea of herd immunity, remember how they preached you to you that once we get a certain number of the people with the disease and are given shots and so forth, we'll have herd immunity. Now he's saying the concept of classical herd immunity may not apply to COVID-19. So they're pushing a fourth booster shot. The problem is they've already ruined any credibility the CDC might have had, because the White House announced we're going to drop Title 42, holding back illegals coming across the border, in May 23rd. And whoopie-doo, 2 days later, the CDC says we're going to drop it May 23rd, Title 42. But we're going to keep mask mandates on the planes. Illegals can come into the country by whatever means. Don't have to be test, no mask. But you an American, you got to have a mask on. COVID only attacks Americans, you know. Right. All right, I mentioned in going to the break that Hillary Clinton's campaign continues to be under close examination. Special Counsel Durham trying to look at the origins of the so-called Russian collusion lie that was pushed repeatedly to say that Trump got in office only through Russian collusion, when in fact everyone connected with so-called Russians was a Hillary Clinton campaign, and they ended up paying a fine because of their involvement, and the Democrat committee also paying a fine. And, of course, you got members of her legal team, Sussman being one of them, who's charged with lying to the FBI in 2016. He called the FBI and said, I know about a fraudulent link between then-candidate Trump and the Russian government via a bank. And he presented himself as a concerned citizen. Now, that was his story, and he said, that's what I said on the phone. Well, since then, an email has surfaced showing that he was saying, I'm not working for anyone. I'm coming on my own, basically for the sake of the country. The email says that, and yet we know he was working for the firm representing Hillary and the Democrats and involved in the Christopher Steele dossier, which proved out to be fake. And all of that being used to come up with wiretaps and illegal authorities with the FBI, the DOJ, all involved. So now Durham is moving to give immunity to a key witness while revealing the claims made by the Clinton campaign viewed by the CIA as, quote, not technically plausible and, quote, user-created. I love that. Not plausibly, or rather not technically plausible, means it's a lie. That's my choice of words, not the legalese. And user-created means exactly what it meant. They made it up. They just made it up. But they had the mainstream media on their side at that time and big tech. And all of them were involved, and they made sure that story got out there, wall-to-wall coverage each and every day, and then leading to an impeachment of Trump, a trial anyway. He was unimpeached because the Senate did not vote to do so. All of this now is putting more pressure on members of the Clinton campaign at that time. And his Durham's latest filing indicates the government wants to introduce evidence of communications between the Clinton campaign leadership and campaign lawyer one, which is another attorney, Elias, that's under suspect. And all of these five associates of Hillary Clinton and her presidential campaign are now refusing to cooperate, invoking their Fifth Amendment rights. It's constitutional allowable. They are allowed to take the Fifth Amendment, that they will not say anything or testify to anything that might be harmful to their case. That's part of our Constitution. I'm not denying them that. I'll stand with the Constitution if they end up getting off because of it. Coming up in the next hour, the fight to keep Elon Musk is so outrageous. Liberals and progressives are coming together to prevent free speech, and yet they want you to believe they're in the right. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.